to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It's first in a two-part series on what we celebrate, what is coming up. Let's begin our reading at verse 1, John chapter 1. Hear now the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. By the way, that word for overcome can also mean the darkness does not comprehend it either. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. But he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Focus here on chapter 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation of your Son that we find right here in John chapter 1. We pray, God, that you would be pleased now to open up our understanding of this Word so that we may not only see what is before us, but live in light of what is before us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a question for you. What is the best-selling song of all time? Now, if you'd asked me this question a few weeks ago or even a few days ago, I might would have said something from Elvis or the Beatles or something like that. And I'd be wrong. The best-selling song of all time was a song that was written in 1940 by a man named Irving Berlin and then was crooned out in 1942 by a man named Bing Crosby. And of course, the song is, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." Of course, down here in the Deep South, instead of a white Christmas, our snowstorms seem to arrive in February. These snowstorms are not the stuff of dreams, but nightmares. Heavy snow shutting us down for a long time. We're not equipped here for heavy snow anytime, and especially at Christmas. So instead of dreaming of a white Christmas, why don't we embrace the reality of something that we all long to see played out on the stage of our lives, in our families, our friendships, our relationships, our culture. The reality of which we're speaking is this: the reality of not a white, but a light Christmas. It's a reality that jumps right off the pages of Scripture to us, beginning in Genesis 1:3, where God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then as you follow Scripture, there's over 250 references to linking light with the Lord. We're looking here at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Jesus is positively identified as the light. And not only the light, but the light that is up close and personal. Not light in the abstract like this, but light that is right here in this world. Now, this chapter, chapter 1, is a celebration of the Incarnation. Now, what is the Incarnation? It is a time in space and history when Jesus, who's always been God, added to his divine nature a human nature. and was born a baby. Remember this, the incarnation is a addition, not a subtraction. So, you know, sometimes there's so much cultural baggage around the word Christmas, sometimes I almost think it ought to be just called a celebration of the incarnation. But I'm not going to try to lead a bunch of people to do that at this point in time, or ever. This morning, let's affirm what it means to affirm Jesus as the light of the world. Notice in the first place, when we affirm Jesus as the light of the world, we are affirming that for all people everywhere, Jesus is indispensable to life. Indispensable. Think about this. Jesus, the light of the world, is the source of all physical life. Now, you know, if you have a favorite plant in your house, a house you're fond of, you know what would happen if you move that favorite plant from your window to the back of your closet. It's going to shrivel up. It's going to die because for life to happen, there must be light. Without something that scientists call photosynthesis, there's no plant life on this earth. In fact, without the sun, there's no life at all. Now, what turns sunshine and light into just the amazement factor of plus 10 is this. The Bible reveals to us, through the agency of Jesus, God the Father created everything you see, everything you don't see, everything visible, everything invisible. God speaks, let there be light. And through the agency of Jesus Christ, there's something fascinating happening. According to Proverbs 8, from the beginning of creation, Jesus was, Jesus still is. He's an artisan. He's a master craftsman. He's at God the Father's side. He artistically arranges the light so that what you see in the sky is nothing less than a beautiful art gallery, a display of divine art. Listen, next time your breath is taken away, as you look up in the night sky and see a big orange-colored moon just sort of hanging there, you see a spectacular light show full of stars and meteors and planets. Next time you see an awesome sunrise or sunset so spectacular that you're stunned in the silence. And we've seen especially sunsets recently, now that it's beginning to turn dark at noon. As I go home from work, you look on the horizon, you see these beautiful, absolutely beautiful sunsets that just stun you. Remind yourself that Jesus is the master artist. He arranges all those lights in the sky the way a master artist arranges colors on a canvas. And Jesus' artwork in the sky grabs our attention and moves us right down to our fields. But listen, apart from this Jesus revealed right here, there would be nothing in the sky to enjoy. Remember that. Jesus not only brings you salvation, but if there's no Jesus, there's no sky to enjoy. And there's no one on this earth to enjoy this artistry of light surrounding us, giving us light. You see, light and life are Siamese twins, conjoined at the heart. Jesus is the source of life and light, as we sung this morning. Life and light to all, notice, all without exception, He brings. Think about that. Even people who deny the Lord, even people like that have a ringside seat to enjoy the daytime and nighttime light shows in the sky. We have a name for that. It's called common grace. See, Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount, He causes His sun to shine on both the righteous and the wicked. And how anyone can look up in the sky and not see the artistic handiwork of God. Well, let me put it this way. God leaves His calling cards in the skies all over the world. And according to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, people suppress the obvious truth those calling cards are displaying. And God calls them morons. It's translated fool, but the word is, we get morons. In other words, God holds even intellectual morons with PhDs all over the world accountable for suppressing the truth. Blindness to the obvious. Jesus is the light of the world, the source of all physical life. But, as one of my favorite singers is quick to remind you every time you hear the song, there's more to this life than just living and dying and trying to make it through the day. And the more to this life is this: Jesus is not just the source of all physical life. Jesus is the source of all spiritual life. You see, it's only Jesus that can shine the light of spiritual life into hearts that are by nature dark, dead hearts. All you have to do is read your spiritual autobiography in Ephesians 2, verse 1. You know, spiritually, we were like withered, dead plants until Jesus shined His light into our hearts. But don't take my word for it. Let me just read this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light to shine in our hearts, so we know the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And I love this last line. And we now have this light shining in our hearts. So let me challenge you to do something starting tomorrow. Before your feet ever hit the floor, why don't you remind yourself of these things? Physically, I'm alive because of the light of the world. Emotionally, I'm alive because the light of the world has thawed out my cold as ice heart. Spiritually, I'm alive because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I have come to know the one who is the light of the world. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, begin each day reminding yourself the light of the world has come, and it's come into your life, and because of that, there's a big difference. If you'll just remind yourself of those things, you'll begin to see a big difference in your attitude, in your approach to life. Jesus is the source of physical life for everybody on the face of this globe. And Jesus is the source of spiritual life for Christians. Second affirmation is this: not only is Jesus indispensable for life, but notice in the second place, for all people, Jesus illuminates life. For all people, all people. See, you know, light sustains life. Light also illuminates everything. Let me ask you, have you ever experienced total darkness? Have you ever been anywhere you've experienced total darkness? I mean, not one bit of light. Happened to me back in the summer of 1980, the old First Presbyterian Church building in downtown Montgomery, Alabama. The offices were all completely underground. There were no windows in the offices, First Presbyterian Church. And so one night, I was working at the office. Sun had gone down, it had gotten dark. I was on my knees going through some files. The custodian didn't see me, and he walked in and turned off the lights. Then he turned the lights off going down the hallway. Now, Think for just a moment. This is way before you had iPhones with a flashlight app on them. We're talking total darkness. I had to literally feel my way along the wall. It took me 15, maybe 20 minutes of running into everything my shins and head could possibly find. Totally disoriented. I was panicking. It felt like forever to even find a light switch. It's amazing. But I learned a lesson there. And the lesson is this: we're really bad off. We're disoriented if we're in total darkness. Look at verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Think about that. Any light in your life, any illumination, from anything to from living to keeping warm to discovering any truth in any field, science, history, medicine, music, physics, engineering, education, law, politics, whatever discovery anyone makes anytime is because light enables us to function. In total darkness, you can do nothing. You need light to illuminate your life. And all illumination ultimately comes from the Lord. Think about it. The sun, artificial light, light from fire. If you trace it back to its origin, it's ultimately a gift. It's either directly or indirectly from the gracious hand of God. Physically speaking, every one of us would grope in total darkness if it was not for the light the Lord provides. Friends, isn't it tragic? Isn't it ironic when people who are every day warmed by the light, people every day illuminated by light, fail to acknowledge the ultimate source of light? Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He's not just talking about spiritually. He is saying, "I am the light." Any light shining in darkness is His light. As John says in his epistle, God is light. And Jesus is God. Jesus is light. But the problem is this. People living in spiritual darkness, they don't comprehend the light. I mentioned that to you, that word there in verse 5. Not only can they not comprehend it, they can't understand that light has a spiritual source. It's a philosophy called materialism. They cannot wrap their minds around the idea that Jesus is the light. But then again, what do you expect? If someone lives in spiritual darkness, if someone is committed to spiritual darkness, how can you think they're going to see anything? This time of year, especially, we need to pray for those whose hearts are filled with spiritual darkness. You know people who do not know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And listen, if someone you know does not embrace Jesus, the light of the world, whoever it is, that friend, that relative, that neighbor, that co-worker, that fellow student, that person without Christ will live in darkness. And here's the worst part. Here's the ultimate tragedy. That person will live forever in the outer darkness of hell itself. The stakes are that high. I remember years ago watching a television series. It was not a Christian show. It was a dark show, spiritually and morally. But in that show, the main character was, they called it resuscitated from the dead. And as she's talking with her friends, she describes her time being dead as this. She says, "It was deep darkness. It was scary darkness." And then she just went hysterical. She says, "I never want to go back there. Never." Sad thing is there was no path for her back in that show because they did not acknowledge Jesus as the light of the world. But it's like people who even reject Christ instinctively know that apart from something changing in their life, there's nothing left but eternal darkness. See, apart from Christ, darkness is where people go. Forever. Total darkness. It's why whenever you're given the opportunity to tell people, you say, "Listen, do you realize the only reason there's light in your life is because the Lord provides light? And if you reject Jesus, if you continue to do that, There's nothing ahead for you except darkness, endless suffering. You need to embrace Jesus as the light of the world. See, people need the Lord to illuminate them spiritually, just as the sun illuminates their world physically. We need Jesus to light up our lives. I love that hymn we sang this morning. Philip Bliss, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. See, Christ and Christ alone can take you spiritually from darkness into light. Well, as we reflect on how indispensable Jesus is to life, spiritually and physically, as we reflect on how Christ alone illuminates people spiritually and physically, I think we begin to see how futile it is if we claim to be people who've seen the light by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, how futile it is to deceive ourselves into thinking somehow we can maintain, as Christians, some kind of comfortable coexistence between darkness and light. So I want to ask you this question this morning. I want to give you a couple of answers. What does embracing the one who is the light mean? If I embrace Jesus as the light, what changes need to occur in my life? And one change is this. When the light comes, the darkness must go. You see, every life into which Jesus has shined His light is a changed life. There is no detente, no peaceful coexistence between darkness and light. Because when you shine the light upon what you do, on what you love, on how you spend your money, how you talk to each other, the language you use, the attitude you have, as you shine the light on all that, sinful ways begin to just scatter like cockroaches when you turn on the light in a dirty kitchen. See, light by its very nature chases away darkness. Light dispels darkness. Light cannot ever be comfortable with darkness. So by God's grace and the power the Holy Spirit provides, God says, make some life adjustments. Shine the light of God's Word into the dark areas of your life, because that light will chase away darkness. See, there's bad news and good news here. The bad news is that we all have areas of darkness in our life, but the good news is this. Light always chases away darkness. Always. So when you embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord, you're turning on the light. When you say no to temptation and yes to obeying the Lord, you're turning on the light in another dark room in your life. Every time you treasure Jesus more than you treasure sin, you're turning on the light. And the more times you turn on the light, the more you'll see darkness dispelled. My grandmother used to say, and some of you raised down here know this term, Jesus makes darkness skedaddle. Skedaddle. Also, as far as life adjustments, when the light shines, your path is illuminated. Not only must darkness go, but when the light shines, your path is illuminated. I'm sure many of you have hiked through the forest or field, and sometimes late at night, it's scary. You hear all those strange sights, or you hear all those strange sounds, you see those strange sights, the shadows casting about. You begin to imagine all kind of scary things. But you know, the most important thing about walking through dark woods is taking the right path. back home. But if you're going to take the right path back home, you need something called a flashlight. See, Jesus is the light illuminating your path as you walk through the deep, dark woods of this life. In John 1:1, notice it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That is, Jesus is the Logos. He is the Word of God. Every time you pick up your Bible, you open it up, and guess what? You're hearing the voice of Jesus as He speaks through His Word. You're shining light on your path. As we sang this morning, your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Remember this, Christ, as He shines the light, He walks with us, He walks beside us, His Holy Spirit is within us. He points us in the right direction. He takes us home. Beloved, we need the Word of the Lord to light our path. We're living in dark times right now. We need this Word. We need this Word to lead us safely to our eternal home. When you shine the Word of the Lord into your life, your path is going to be illuminated. I don't know, maybe there's some area in your life where you're stumbling right now. Well, most likely if you're stumbling, it's because you're not shining God's Word on your path. And because you're walking in darkness, you may even be on the wrong path. I don't know, but I do know this. We need to open our Bibles. We need to apply what we read. And I promise you this. Open your Bible, apply what you read, and Jesus will illuminate your path. And He'll take you home safely. You know, a number of places this year, people may not be dreaming of a white Christmas. We have no choice as to what the weather will be. It's summer today, it may be winter tomorrow. It's the way it is. As they say in Mississippi, if you don't like the weather, wait a day and it'll change. But you can make a choice this morning. You can choose to have a light Christmas. You can affirm with your lips that Jesus is the light of the world, and then you can live like Jesus is the light of the world. And as you shine the light into this darkness, the light that Jesus gives you, people may just be drawn to the light because you have chosen to be a lighthouse. I hope you want to be a lighthouse. Shine the light of Jesus in your life and to the life of others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. It is indeed a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. But we thank You most of all for the One who is light, that we owe our lives, we owe our spiritual lives to You, Lord. Lord, we know that You sustain us, that You illuminate our lives. Lord, help us to understand that apart from Your light shining in the darkness, there would be no life physically, no life spiritually. And Lord, help us to understand that because we have the light, we've been given the light, that light is to be shined into every crevice and corner of every room of our life, Lord, to expose what's there and to chase away the darkness. And Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We are so grateful to You because as we walk this dark path in the deep forest of this world, that You give us Your Word. Not only Your written Word, but Your Word, Jesus Christ, the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Lord, help us to live and to walk in the light, and help us to be a light to others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.